Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, brand journalists, and The Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Okay, as we start winding down 2019 and start looking into the next decade, I thought it would be great to have sort of a year-end wrap-up and maybe a little bit of a preview of 2020 on Facebook. So I'm joined once again by my colleague, Mike McDowell, Director of Operations and wearer of many hats at Social Joey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jack. Thanks for having me again. Good to be here.
You bet. So before we dive into what the heck we're doing with Facebook next year, a quick programming note. You and I are both going to be on vacation next week for the holidays. So filling in here on Social Geek Radio will be two of my favorite people, Angela Cote and Nancy Friedman. I have no idea what they have planned. I have no idea what they're doing. I have no idea why I agreed to this. But they're going to be taking this thing over for the next couple of episodes. So be sure to tune in between now and the holidays to hear Francie and Frangela, as they like to call them. So, Mike, you are neck deep in Facebook about 23 hours a day.
Sure.
And I know you've got some insight into what's coming our way in 2020. I think first you had said there's some changes in the news feed that everyone's going to see pretty soon. What does that look like?
Yeah. So there's some pretty cool things that are going to be happening, and most of them will roll out pretty early in January. But kind of the biggest thing will be for anybody that typically uses Facebook on desktop, the desktop app for Facebook is going to start looking a lot more like mobile, or at least feel a little bit more like that. The iconographies and things like that are going to start shifting, and the layout really is going to take a pretty significant change to highlight Facebook stories a lot more than what currently happens today. Groups and events are going to get a very prominent display point. So anytime you log in, you can see any updates from, you know, any groups that you're a part of, as well as any events that are happening near you or coming up that you've marked as interested in or going to. So that's going to play a big factor in strategy next year, I think. And then the other piece is, you know, today with desktop, Messenger is kind of this bottom right hand corner minimized thing that a lot of people will open up throughout the day. But Messenger will now get a full third of the screen. And so if you think about kind of your screen divided into three equal parts, groups, events, things like that, games for people that do a lot of gaming and stuff on Facebook, all of that will kind of control the left third of the screen. Newsfeed will still be kind of your center, with stories making up a good chunk of that at the top. And then the right-hand side will be dedicated to Messenger. And it goes with kind of the message that Mark Zuckerberg, you know, stated earlier this year, and in the way they're kind of moving things, is that more authentic, more person-to-person, more conversation based type of thing, rather than just, you know, mindlessly scrolling, looking at articles and, you know, news stories and things like that. That'll still be a big piece of what makes up the news feed, but they're bringing in a lot more of these things that people are clicking on and interacting with, and writing messages more specifically in events and groups, and saying I'm going here, and all of those different types of things with stories kind of being the new front and center. But yeah, so it'll be a pretty big layout change. And then for anybody that likes to nerd out with dark mode, they are adding a dark mode for desktop, which will be really, really cool. And it'll be the only thing finally that I've been waiting for, to go to a black background, because my Mac has everything else black except Facebook, and it like blinds me every time I log in, because I'm like, oh, there's still white here in the computer. So
yeah, when you showed it to me a little bit earlier today, that was my first thought, is this looks so much more like the mobile version. And I don't know if that's really something they were thinking about, or if it's just the mobile experience is frankly all that really matters to the Facebook guys anymore. We often joke that the only people who are really doing a lot of Facebook on desktop right now are agency people, right?
Sure.
So I want to get into stories and some of the other things, but one of the things that you just mentioned that really kind of jumped out at me is the new prominence of groups, and getting more exposure in groups, a lot more reach in groups. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So groups is really something I'm watching pretty closely right now. And simply because there are so many users of Facebook, and probably more than I even realize, that actively are participating in groups. You know, whether that's a local moms group, or, you know, there's all kinds of different things, whether it's, you know, your business has a group, or maybe a local church, or whatever it may be. But there are so many groups with tens and tens of thousands of people, and not just like nationwide, but, you know, for example, here in Chattanooga, there's a moms group, and it's got almost 50,000 people that live in Chattanooga that are moms of kids in the community. And being able to post there, you know, that's a pretty significant difference than posting on a business page that, even if you've got, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 likes, I mean, posting in a group like that just is really a game changer for the amount of people that you're still able to reach on Facebook. We were talking earlier, and I pulled up the number from the deck that Facebook had shared or whatever. And right now, as kind of everybody knows, you know, average page reach on a post from a business page is somewhere between 1 to 5. If you're really good, up to 10%. Mm-hmm. Reach right now in groups is almost 84%.
Wow.
So it shows you the level of interaction that people have. And a lot of these things are getting favorited to where they're showing up at the very top of newsfeed every time. You know, obviously there's strategy that goes into that. You can't just go on and promote your business every day. You've got to be a real, you know, contributor to the conversation. But when you're talking about 84% reach and some of these groups that are 20 and 30 and 50,000, and, you know, Chattanooga is not a massive city either. You know, things in Atlanta or, you know, Philadelphia or some of these larger cities, I mean, there's no telling how big some of those groups get. And if you're getting 84% reach in those kinds of things, you're talking about back in the old days of Facebook of reaching thousands and thousands and thousands of people organically. And I think there's really something there next year that businesses could take advantage of. But again, the key is having a good strategy, because they're not going to let you just go in and promo your business every day, because people will just quit following it. So
yeah, I think that's where the Gary V strategy of help, ask really comes into play, right? Because you could, as a business person or as a business page, well, actually, let me ask you that. Can you still post as a business page into some of these groups?
Yeah, so for limited time only, yes. kind of the big thing Facebook is whether they're wrestling with it, I don't know what the right word is there, but I would say strongly debating for early next year is removing businesses' ability to join groups that people have started. You know, earlier this year, or maybe at the end of the year before, they rolled out the ability for businesses to create groups within their business page and invite their customers and different things like that, which was kind of the writing on the wall of, we're about to kick you out of the people-based kind of stuff. And so really, more importantly, I would say than joining those groups as your business right now would be having a person at your business join those pages as themselves and really engage in conversation, so that eventually they can go in and say, hey, we've got this special or whatever that may be.
Yeah, I think that's the key to this strategy, is let's assume that businesses may get kicked out of the groups or may not be able to post with all of the same functionality. So get your strategy together of who in your brand or your business or your local business, who is going to be the face and the voice, and make sure that that person is getting active in these groups. Because, man, that reach that you're talking about is still blowing my mind. Let's say it is just a mom's group in Chattanooga with a mere 50,000 people. If you could post, you know, as sort of the ambassador for your brand, if you could post in that group and reach 84% of 50,000 people in one community, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is a game changer for, you know, almost back to that word of mouth kind of marketing. And I think as you're thinking about who that brand ambassador is, I think you have to be strategic. You know, I would not be the candidate to post in the Chattanooga Moms group, right? Like you have to be strategic and think about it, you know? And so think about, you know, your business, who your consumer is, and then start looking for those groups. But you know, it may not be you as the marketing director that needs to handle that. It may not be the owner. That there's somebody in your organization that can do that. But again, it's a strategy question at this point of who is the person that looks authentic to the group that's being joined, and how can that person build a certain level of trust, kind of like what you said, the Gary Vee model of jab, 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 right hook, right? Who can authentically throw the jabs and not look like an outsider, but yeah, when it's time to throw the right hook, they've built the respect and you know, participated enough to where nobody thinks anything about them saying, hey, by the way, we have, you know, 99 cent cupcakes tomorrow or whatever it may be. That will be really the key to making that work. And I think the businesses that start thinking about that today and have a plan and execute that well next year are the ones that you're going to see really make Facebook work for them without having to spend a significant amount of money on Facebook advertising. So
I like what you said about it might not be the marketing director or the VP of marketing or the social media director. That may be the wrong person for some of these groups. And it kind of goes back to what you and I have talked about a lot with LinkedIn, that it isn't just one person posting for the brand on LinkedIn or engaging in conversation. There's a gold mine in all of your team's connections. So yep, maybe get more than just one or two people involved. It could be, you know, a whole bunch of people from various locations and levels within your organization who could fill that role on various social channels. And even within Facebook, multiple groups. There could be lots of different groups, let's say in Chattanooga, that your local business or your brand needs to be involved in. And you could have a whole strategy and a whole calendar laid out for who is responsible for engaging with people in which groups all week long and all month long.
Yeah. And that's the nice thing about groups too, is it's not one of those things where, like, you know, your business page where Facebook is expecting you to post every single day and have content out there every single day. You know, it doesn't have to be that, heavy of a task, right? Like,
yeah,
it can be authentic because you can respond to people's questions in the group about other topics while you're at your house on your iPad with a TV on or whatever that may be, and you're building that credibility. It doesn't have to feel like such a heavy burden, but then that's where once you've done that and built that rapport, you know, it gives you the ability to speak into that and say, hey, we've got this thing going on. And but the key is just, you know, being authentic and not trying to I did this in a presentation the other day. It's not being the Don Draper of that group, right? Yeah. Like, you're not always trying to be that guy, but just being authentic and building those relationships with the people in the group, being helpful, whether it has to do with your business or not, and then eventually gaining the rapport to be able to speak, you know, a promotion or a deal or a upcoming event or whatever into that group. And you know, we've been doing this with a couple of clients for you know, about 6-8 months now, and we're seeing some really, really significant growth of customer base and hearing even at the local level, hey, these people saw us in that Facebook group post from, you know, Sarah or Jimmy or whoever that went out and did it. And that to us is more validation than just hearing Facebook say your reach is great. We're literally hearing people say, oh yeah, you know, this girl that I don't know posted in this Facebook group that I'm a part of, well, that girl works for us. And, you know, so, you know, they don't even pick up on that connection a lot of times, but it's been a very, very powerful source for getting people in the door at different places, because it's that real word of mouth again. So
it feels like you're talking about creating your own influencers within
sure.
little micro groups, right?
Not, yeah.
like not having one influencer on Instagram that has 12 million followers, but having lots of people who are positively talking about your brand or you or your local business within multiple groups across all of Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's exactly it. I think, you know, there are reasons brands pay, you know, Kim Kardashian millions of dollars to post about their lip balm once, right?
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily the way to grow a local brick and mortar store. Like, that's not going to help you, because her followers aren't necessarily in your community. You'd be way better off, you know, connecting with a local PTA director if you're trying to get in front of moms and having a grassroots effort to help a PTA of a part of a local school. Like, those are the ways that what used to be like that guerrilla on the ground marketing type,
yeah.
how can I get into a school, or how can I get into, you know, this particular group or that particular, that has become so digital in the way that we're thinking about things today of, well, what does that look like on Facebook? How do I do guerrilla local on the ground marketing? And you're exactly right. It's how do I create influencers for my brand as a part of these groups, massive groups of people that already exist online. And it doesn't have to be somebody outside of your organization, because people really don't care, because they're posting in the group, not, you know, on the business page. And so people view it as authentic. And they're not like going and being like, oh, who does this person work for? How long have they been there? Oh, this must be, you know, a promotion or something. They just see that, hey, this person's been contributing for the last 6 months and given some great advice to people and helped people out. Hey, I'll support them because they seem to, you know, be trustworthy or whatever. So
yeah, as long as they're not pitching, like, and this is where the groups in LinkedIn just went way off the rails of a few years ago. Every group turned into a place where other industry suppliers and vendors for whatever industry group you were in just came in, and it was just pitch, you know, posting links back to a place where, you know, you would be counted as a lead and you could yeah. buy something. And the people who would normally contribute and talk and ask questions just stop going there, because every time you ask a question in a LinkedIn group, you just got a bunch of sales pitches followed up by,
yep.
you know, numerous connection requests, which are still happening today. you know, a quick note to everybody on LinkedIn. I do not design websites. I do not hire web developers. Please stop pitching me on LinkedIn about hiring developers. I know nothing about it. Thank you.
Yeah, I always respond to people. It's so funny. I can't tell you, and it's everybody, I'm sure, not just us, but you know, if you send me a LinkedIn connection request and, you know, I happen to accept it because you look like you've got some good stuff that you're doing, like if you send me a pitch in the next 24 hours and send me like a private email, I'm immediately deleting you and blocking
yeah.
you yes. like go, every go time. Away. It's so yeah. frustrating.
Yeah.
I love
the ones that come from our competitors who don't even take the time to read my name or look at my profile and realize yep. we're in a competitive business. Yeah. Come on. Let's jump over to something else you talked about that's a big part of the new Facebook newsfeed and layout, and that's stories. It feels like, along with groups, stories, and a few other things, are the most prominent thing happening right now. What can you tell us about what Facebook is expecting with stories, and how are stories doing now on Facebook?
Sure. Yeah. And this has kind of been the big question since they launched back in 2017 is, you know, for the longest time, there was no reporting, right? And so nobody knew who's seeing this, who's engaging, who's interacting, and what does that look like? Well, Facebook has finally got to a point to where you can now opt in to getting your insights and stuff off of stories. So if you haven't done that, just go to your Facebook Insights tab, click on stories. You can opt in from there and actually start getting some feedback. But what I found interesting is they finally released this year some stats on kind of where things have gone. And it was a little shocking to me, honestly, because, you know, whether you're in the industry or not, you know, you always hear things like, oh, you know, these older people aren't adopting these new Facebook features and everybody's just moving to Instagram, da, 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 da. Well, what's interesting, so Instagram launched stories in 2015 or whatever, and for the first time in 2019 hit about 500 million active stories users on a daily basis. What I found incredibly interesting is Facebook launched stories right at the very end of 2017. So a little over 2 years later, they are already at 500 million active story users in just 2 short years. In the past year, from 2018 to 2019, they picked up 370 million active users on Facebook stories. Wow. So this whole idea of people not adopting these new things or people not using them because they already do that on Instagram, like, it is not even close to true. Again, we're trusting the numbers that you know, these networks are putting out. But what's even more interesting is that less people are talking about Facebook stories than are talking, you know, I get questions all the time, Snapchat, Snapchat, Snapchat. Yeah. We got to get on Snapchat. Well, what's funny is, you know, the people that are talking the most about that haven't ever posted on Facebook stories. So Snapchat's total user base right now is sitting somewhere around 200-ish million people.
Wow. So more than double user on Facebook base. Stories. Wow.
Yeah. You've got more active daily users on Facebook stories than you have total users on Snapchat right now. And people are ignoring it, forgetting about it, thinking that nobody's using it. And it's an incredibly big mistake. And you know, Facebook and Instagram have made some very wise decisions because a lot of people, the other thing that I've heard is, oh, it's just the same thing. I'll just publish my Instagram story to Facebook. And there's some okay times to do that. But Facebook has been very strategic in that there are certain things that you can do on Facebook stories that you can't do on Instagram stories and vice versa. So there's unique features to each one of them that make using each network individually important to some level. Now, you don't have to do every day, every single time, a unique thing. It's fine to share from Instagram to Facebook every now and then, but don't neglect going in and creating a unique Facebook story, because there are some features and some things that can happen there that you just can't do on Instagram. You're going to get some users and things that'll be different than what you're getting on Instagram as well. So
when it comes to stories, a big part of stories are videos, right? So let's talk a little bit about video, whether it's in Facebook stories, Instagram stories, or even just video that you're posting into the Facebook news feed itself. Any advice or things we should be looking at for creating videos over the next year?
Yeah. So what's really interesting is in the ADHD culture that we live in, you know, we started out back when Facebook first started releasing video and people were posting, you know, commercials, basically, you know, 45 seconds a minute. And then, you know, it gradually grew to where we were posting 2 and 3 and 4 minute videos. People were going live for 20 and 30 minutes at a time and things right. I mean, like that was the way that it used to be done. And then gradually people started realizing, oh, the shorter my video, the better. And up until last year, it had always landed around that 30-second time frame being really the sweet spot and what people were optimizing for. But Facebook release right before Black Friday or whatever actually lowered that down. And now they're saying 15 seconds is really the sweet spot on those. So that really, it seems like a minor change, but 15 seconds in video format and having to get your brand, your message, how you're going to do that and not have so much text in a image that's going to be your thumbnail to still communicate that message. Like, that's a task, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That takes some real thought and some real strategy of how am I going to communicate the thing I want to say here in 15 seconds. And the other side of that optimization is because, hey, guess what? You know, Facebook Stories, 15 seconds is kind of what you're looking for. Same thing with Instagram. And so that is really becoming something that, you know, we've created all these video assets and people have trimmed them to 30 seconds. Well, now we've got to start thinking, well, how do we trim them to 15? What does that look like now? How does that
and still get the message out in 15 seconds?
Yeah.
I think that's the key. So get really good at getting your point across and not having a lot of extraneous stuff at the beginning of a video. That's what always kind of drove me away from any videos on Facebook when it's like, okay, we're 10 seconds in and nothing has happened here yet. Next. And I think Facebook obviously has seen that long videos where people are bailing out after 10 or 15 seconds. That's obviously why we're optimizing for that level now.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, it's so funny because, you know, you look at YouTube and they're having the exact opposite effect, right? The way people are consuming content on YouTube is more long form video. If you try to do short stuff on YouTube, people don't want it.
Yeah.
So YouTube is had this opposite effect to where people go there and treat it almost like TV, where they want to see, you know, 30 minutes almost, you know, like that's what people are looking for from YouTube, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. Whereas Facebook, Instagram, you know, some of these others, Snapchat, obviously there's limitations there, but all these other, you know, there's a lot more information coming at me at one time kind of networks like a Facebook. It's all getting shorter and shorter and shorter because people want the information. They want it quick. It almost makes me think of like Twitter, right? Like I just needed it in 140 characters.
Yeah.
Like I just need it in 15 seconds. Like give me what you want to say. And if I like it, I'll do it. If I don't, then, you know, whatever, try again later. But it's almost starting to think through like what's that 140 character version of that 15 second video that I can put out that's gonna, you know, convince people to try my brand or, you know, come to my cell or whatever that may be, right? So there's a real strategy shift that's got to happen there as brands start thinking about that and optimizing and really this day of, hey, it's just this one thing and I'm just going to push this over and over and over and over and over again. You know, when you're talking about a 15 second video, that doesn't work anymore, right? Like,
yeah.
You've got to mix that message up. You've got to start having, you know, multiple pieces of content that say different things in different ways and letting those things hit people at different stages in the funnel and the buying process and things like that. And so you've really... just producing content isn't enough anymore. You've got to be so much more strategic and timely and thoughtful in what you're doing and why you're doing it to be able to push people along that journey in a very short, you know, ADHD society. So,
and not making that same duplicated content. We talk about that all the time that you put on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Twitter because there's different audiences for all of those places. There are people are expecting different things in all of those places. And I think that's the biggest part of this is if you put a piece of content in a platform and it comes off as totally unexpected, that's not being disruptive. That's just turning away potential listeners and viewers, right? If you make a really short video on YouTube, you're going to get ignored next time. If you make a really long video on Facebook, no one's going to look at it. So
yeah.
I think having, instead of just having one strategy, like for the last dozen years we talked about having a social media strategy, which is a phrase I hate, by the way. but having multiple strategies for lots of different platforms and places where you can touch these potential customers, that's what I see a lot of brands struggling with right now.
I mean, you really have to think through it in a very broken down. What is my Facebook story strategy? What is my Facebook newsfeed strategy? What is my Facebook ad strategy? But like you've really got to get granular with this kind of stuff now, because there's so much competition and there's so many other people trying to get attention, and the consumer is been worn down, right? And so you've got to do something that catches their attention. You've got to do it in the format they're looking for, and you've got to speak to them on the platform that's most applicable to them as they relate to your brand. So
give me some advice that you're telling your partners and your clients right now of what they should be thinking about in January of 2020, you know, start of a new year, start of a new decade. Lots of changes happening on Facebook specifically that we've been talking about today. What's sort of the one thing you want all of your customers and your colleagues and network people to know about?
Yeah, I would say a lot of the stuff that we talked about today. I think there are so many people that have ignored Facebook events, Facebook groups. I really think that's going to be, those two things are going to be crucial for success. You know, Facebook, and I think we talked about this offline a little bit, but Facebook launched an app about 2 years ago called Facebook Local.
Sure.
And it would send you push notifications, right, as you got close to like event venues and tell you what's coming up and things. Well, Facebook has integrated that into the Facebook mobile app now. And so there's actually like a local events little option that you can see on your menu there. And so it will do the same thing. And so, you know, I'm telling people, hey, look, if you have a sell, create an event for it. If you're having a, you know, in-store whatever, create an event for it, because that's going to pop up as people are driving by your Dairy Queen or whatever it is, right? Like you've got to be thinking, hey, what's going to get me easy, free eyeballs? And right now for me, that's, you know, having an event. And it's got to legitimately be an event. You can't just be like, hey, it's Wednesday.
Right.
You know, but like if you're having a grand opening, that better be a Facebook event. If you're doing a big sale in store, that better be a Facebook event. If you're
having Valentine's Day at our restaurant, like
exactly.
That's and then you can see what, because you'll automatically see which of your friends have recommended that restaurant too. So that's
exactly. Yeah. And on that same topic of thought, the other thing I would say, if I'm a restaurant, if I'm a consumer brand where I don't have a niche target audience, and I am after the general consumer, if I'm Papa John's, if I'm a, you know, pizza place or McDonald's or whatever, where the general public is my audience because everybody eats fast food or whatever, I would really start looking into Facebook automated advertising. A lot of people have been very scared to just kind of hand the keys to the kingdom over to Facebook.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, if you don't have a very tight, minute audience and you are going after general population because everybody buys your product, you won't find an agency that can optimize better than Facebook can optimize themselves. They give you like a little quiz. You tell them who you are, what you're looking for, the type of people that typically come into your establishment or the customers that you're looking for. Facebook will do some auto matching based off of what people in your community or in your region or however far out you go. They'll automatically build your audience for you. You give them like 5 or 6 versions of creative that they can use, and they'll auto A/B test everything.
Really?
And then they'll pull the headline and the image and the copy that make the most sense and perform the best when tested together. And they'll automate your entire advertising process and use machine learning to continue to improve that audience as you go for whatever conversion method that you're looking for. So that is one thing. If I'm a general public advertiser, I am giving the keys to the kingdom of Facebook ads over to Facebook and saying, you're way better at this than anybody else because you own all the data, and giving them a shot. Now, if your audience is tight and narrow, don't do it because it's not built for that. But if you are selling hamburgers or pizza or whatever, that is something I would highly recommend looking at doing in the next year, because it is going to revolutionize the way that consumer brands like that can hit their audience.
Excellent advice. Anything you're thinking about outside of the Facebook sphere right now? And I know that's still kind of limited, because most of what we're talking about today is still within the Facebook world, but anything else that's kind of catching your eye out there right now that we might want to jump on in early 2020?
And not to beat a dead horse, because Gary Vee's been talking about it, and I'm sure you've seen it on your news feed a million times, but don't underestimate LinkedIn. The reach there is still so good. I would think about LinkedIn as Mike, not as Social Joey.
Yes.
In my instance, right? I have a lot more value and equity on LinkedIn than a brand does. And so posting as your brand is not bad, but you really need to start thinking about if you're a digital marketing person, like, sure, do yours, but you really need to be thinking about how can my CEO or CMO or whoever be on LinkedIn and have a real meaningful presence for my brand as themselves. I can't tell you the number of brands I've talked to in the last 30, 60 days where I've said, you know, hey, the best thing you could do for LinkedIn, if you really want a good strategy there, or you want to sell more franchises or anything like that, is get your CEO active on LinkedIn and yes. Let him be the face of that brand, or whoever in your organization that they deem that needs to be. But like, let that person drive it, because people will trust that person way more than they'll trust, you know, the brand putting out some kind of message about how great franchising is. Like, let your CEO be featured, let it come from his or her perspective. That is going to be huge on LinkedIn in the next year, I think, is getting away from thinking just about the brand and really thinking about who are the people in my organization that need to be represented well, and how can we as a marketing department, you know, handle that for them, because your CEO, CMO, COO, whoever, probably don't have time to post every day and do all that stuff. They've probably got a million things going on, but like, helping them do that and being able to speak in their voice on behalf of the brand is going to be something that I think is a challenge for marketers next year. But I also think it could be incredibly powerful and really help specifically on the fran dev side, but also, you know, if you're a B2B business, that could be a game changer for consumer marketing ish there too.
Yeah, there is a gold mine there in those executives and other team members' connections. So absolutely use it. That's great advice. I'll throw you my one piece of advice outside of Facebook. Everybody's talking about TikTok, right? Either they love it or they're making fun of it at this point. And I remind people that a dozen years ago, the same things were being said about Facebook. And 8 or 9 years ago, they were saying the same thing about Instagram. And 5 years ago about Snapchat, that, you know, it's just for kids. It's not going to go anywhere. Forget it. There's no business application there. Remember how many times we heard that about Instagram over the past, you know, several years? I say the same thing about TikTok. Right now, it's heavily 16 to 22 or 24-year-olds. I can't remember the number. But those people are going to be coming into a place where they're spending more and more money over the next couple of years. And TikTok, like every other platform, is going to start to age up. There's going to be more 40-year-olds getting on it, more 50-year-olds going on it. So we don't really know if there's a great way to advertise right now. I wouldn't put a lot of money in TikTok or even a lot of resources right now, but get your brand set up, get your name claimed, have an account, have a page, put something out there, just test the waters. That's sort of my piece of advice and my homework for everybody out there in January of 2020, is get your brand or your local business, even more important, set up on TikTok.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It is TikTok. I don't think there's any question it's going to be the next big thing. It's just a matter of time before Facebook offers them $1 billion.
Or that's exactly it, man. Right. It's there's all of this, this scandal that came out a month or so ago about the Chinese are involved and they may be taking our data back to China. And it's like, listen, China already has all of your data. So don't worry about it. That sounded like a little bit of a somebody floating a little PR note there to see if they could drive the TikTok price down a little bit, right? So
that and it's awesome free exposure. Anytime Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and every local news station start saying, you know, beware, here's a new brand, right? Like,
beware. I guarantee you, download it. Yeah,
like, I guarantee you, their user base probably doubled or tripled overnight as soon as all that happened.
Absolutely. There is no such thing as bad publicity when it comes to social media platforms anymore. We'll be back in just a moment. But first, one quick note. We talk a lot on this podcast about using digital marketing for franchise lead generation. And there's nobody who does that better than brand journalists. I've known these guys for about 10 years. Well, I guess in January, it'll be going on more, 11 years. And they're really the best and most experienced when it comes to developing franchises in this industry. They've grown over 170 franchise brands, and they've helped Fran Dev Pros recruit 10,000 franchise owners. And they do it using my favorite method, great storytelling on websites. So if you need a little help growing your emerging brand, or you want to breathe a little life back into a legacy brand, or you just want to rise above the noise, talk to brand journalists. They'll give you a free audit of your website and your franchise development marketing. You can check them out at brand journalists. That's with an S, brandjournalists.com. Mike, thanks so much for joining me here as we wind down 2019. If anybody has some questions for you and they want to pick your brain a little bit more about some of the Facebook coming attractions that you shared today, where's the best place for them to reach you?
Yeah, I would say just shoot me an email would probably be the easiest. It's just Mike, M-I-K-E at socialjoey.com. Or if you want to message me on Facebook, LinkedIn, anything like that, always happy to respond there. If you do want to call, feel free. My cell phone is just 423-584-1544. Shoot me a text. Happy to chat with anybody on any questions that they have.
All right. Very good. Thanks for joining me today again, man. And Merry Christmas.
Yes, you too. You too.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.